Who's excited for the Word of God today? Are you guys excited? Perfect. Well, I want you to turn to your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And it reads verse 1 through 4. And it reads, "When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for proof for them.'" I want to preach a message entitled Willing and Able. Willing and Able. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are going to inspire and encourage. God, I thank you that you are going to deposit faith. Lord, I thank you that you are going to expel doubt. And Lord, we thank you that you're not just an able God, but you're a willing and able God. So Lord, we love you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen. Amen. We're in our summer stretch series. And one of the things that I want to do today particularly is help you stretch your faith. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll believe Jesus as our Savior, but we won't believe him for anything beyond that. And the reason that it's hard for us to believe oftentimes for more is because we're not in a place where our faith has been stretched. And I want to stretch your faith with this story today because it's one of the most encouraging stories that we see in the book of Matthew chapter 8. But it starts off with Jesus saying, when Jesus comes down the mountain, which means at one point Jesus was up mountain. And we got to figure out, why is Jesus up this mountain? What was he doing there? How was this leper there? And what's all going on in this story? What's all going on in this Bible? And so before we get to Matthew 8, we got to go to Matthew chapter 5. And this is where Jesus is going up the mountain. The reason he's going up the mountain is because he just called his first disciples. He just started experiencing miracles. And everywhere Jesus was, crowds began to follow him. He would show up and he would do miracles and it would begin to grow because people would begin to talk about Jesus and they would see, there he is. And Israel, you got to understand, I'm not saying I'm better than you, but I have been to Israel, so I feel like I'm a holy Christian. So I went to Israel, and this is one thing I'll tell you, it's small. That means that the word would travel quicker. That means people would be able to get to Jesus because he would seem closer. And Jesus was teaching and he was preaching and he sees that there's a whole crowd following him. So he goes up a mountain. And from the top of the mountain, he is teaching and he is preaching. And this is the first sermon that we know. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gets up and he begins to preach and he begins to teach. And you got to understand, especially for Christians like us today, we have memorized so many of these scriptures. Some of us can just quote them like this, but you got to understand this story. They're hearing all this stuff for the first time. So I don't know if you can, but I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the crowd for the first time. And this Savior gets up and he begins to teach. And you got to understand, when he started talking, people just were so drawn to this man. Just like I was drawn to Pastor Darrell. Who is this white black man? They were so drawn to him. And as he was teaching, he would say things like, "Blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom." They didn't understand that. How could you be blessed and be poor in the spirit yet inherit something? He was changing people's paradigms. He was saying stuff like this. "You've heard it was said that lust is committing adultery, but I say that even if you look at a person with an adulterous spirit, you have committed adultery in your heart." People haven't heard this before. People never heard any preaching like this. Jesus started saying stuff all in one sitting. He looked at someone, he says, if your neighbor smacks you on the face and hits you on one cheek, you need to turn and let them smack that other cheek in the name of Jesus. I'm not that safe. Smack me if you want to, okay? Smack me if you want to. He is doing a work in my soul right now. He's starting to preach, he's starting to teach, he's starting to bring clarity to things that people never heard before. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7 is one long sermon. When we get to Matthew 6, he's preaching, and in the middle of his sermon, he changes subjects, and he says, hey, I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about what prayer is. Because a lot of people at this point, when they think prayer, they think rituals. They think sacrifices. You got to understand, there were multiple sacrifices that we had to do before Jesus came here. We had to do guilt offerings. We had to do sin offerings. We had to do all types of burnt offerings. There was many different offerings. There was many different prayers that you would have to go to God depending on what you did. You would have to petition him differently. If you go and you read the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers, you're going to come across stories, and even in Deuteronomy, of people having these long prayers because there was a way you had to approach God. So now in Matthew 6, he gets up and he says, I want to teach you the prayer. And the prayer is this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive those that are debtors. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one. He says this prayer for the first time, and you got to understand, there are people that were probably there like me, like, that's it? That's the whole prayer? You mean I don't have to memorize these 79 verses? You mean I don't have to do this? That's all I have to say? And Jesus is not saying that when you wake up in the morning, give a script to the Lord and you're good. He's waking up and he's giving you a model to give to God. That when you start off prayer, I know that there's some people in here and you have needs. I have needs. Maybe you have a need in your body. Maybe you have a need in your mind. Maybe you need God to intervene in your children. Maybe you need him to intervene in your family. Maybe there's a need that you have. So when we go to prayer, we go in urgency. But he says, hey, when you go, don't let your urgency lead your design. I want you to go and still, in the midst of everything, say, God, thank you. Thank you for you. Hallowed be your name. You know, I know that a lot of us in this room maybe have a lot of stuff going on, but we woke up this morning. Like, there is someone right now with the paramedics and the cops at their house, and they're looking at their loved one that did not wake up this morning. They don't know what happened. There is someone this week that the worst thing that could happen has happened. And yet, God has still been faithful to us. So why do we thank God in the beginning of our prayer? Because he is faithful. Why do we thank God in the beginning of our prayer? Because he's worthy. Why do we thank God in the beginning of our prayer before we make our needs to him? Because he has already given the greatest thing to us, and that is his son for the sacrifice of our sins. So when we go to him, say, thank you, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's teaching people to pray the will of God. Not just pray for the things you want. Some of us, if we're not careful, we'll turn God into a vending machine. And we'll look at our neighbor's life and we'll say, God, I want that. And then we'll begin to romanticize it. And because God gave it to them and they're blessed, we'll believe that God wants it for us to be blessed. But when we get in prayer and we pray down God's will, you know what he does begin to do? He begins to clean our heart, clean our perspective. And no one's heard this stuff before. I mean, even the first disciples, Matthew is sitting there, Judas is sitting there, Peter is sitting there, Bartholomew is sitting there, and they have never heard this before. Jesus is preaching in a way that's causing a lot of people to question some things about themselves. When you get to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus begins to go deeper, and he talks about even your needs and things that you want. He says, don't be anxious for anything, which is easy sometimes to say, but it's hard to live, isn't it? You're like, man, yeah, it's easy for me not to be anxious when we're singing a song, when we're singing worship songs, but as soon as we go through those exit doors and we get back in our car and we have to deal with our life, suddenly the anxiety just boils right back up. And Jesus began to say, do not be anxious for anything. And then in Matthew 7, he also says something. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be answered. I want you to ask God something today. I want you to seek the Lord for something today. I want you to knock and keep knocking to the God so you can see the things he's going to do in your life today. Now, while Jesus is teaching all of this, when I opened up with Matthew chapter 8, I told you that a leper goes through the crowd. What you have to understand is that a leper and crowd are two words that should not go together, because lepers should not be in crowds. If you don't know what leprosy is, I just want you to think about 2020. You remember COVID? You remember that everyone responded to COVID different, but there was one rule. What was it? You better stay away from me. It didn't matter what you believe about COVID until someone coughed around you. You would just be enjoying your day, and then you better go away from me in the name of Jesus. I remember I was traveling right before COVID was announced. I was in Georgia, and over here, we have faith, okay? We didn't believe in it. I don't know what happened. I just thought, hey, COVID's coming. I was like, it's all good. I bind in the name of Jesus. Then I got on the plane. I went to Texas, and Texas was a little bit different because they were taking it seriously. I saw the mask. Then I went to preach from Georgia to Texas to Seattle. And when I got to Seattle, I saw hazmat suits, and I was like, this is like Monsters, Inc. I have no idea what's going on here. And the reason that everyone was tripping and everyone was wearing suits or double masks or doing whatever they were doing is because they did not want to get COVID. Because when you got COVID, you lost taste. You couldn't feel. You were numb. You would sleep. I got COVID 3 times, and I don't know why COVID was coming after me. I think it liked black people or something because it just kept coming after me. And the only thing that happened was I can't eat pistachio anymore. I got an allergic reaction after having COVID. And the thing that you know when you have it is you stay away from people. Stay away from people because we don't want to get what you have. You go in isolation and you spend a few days by yourself. And then when it's all done, you can come out. The thing about leprosy is that it's not going to be done. This is the beginning of the end. Have you ever got some news and you're like, this is the beginning? This is like the first scene to a horrible movie in my life. This is like the beginning of a chapter that I've been running from all my life. How did I get leprosy? Leprosy started off with white blotches on your skin, numbness in your body, and before you know it, limbs were falling off, and you couldn't even be in society at all. Which makes it interesting that the first person that Jesus sees after he comes down from the crowd is a leper. And if you're like me, you ask this question, how? How did this leper get with the crowd? And then how did he get in front of the crowd? Now, when I went to Israel, something that happened, I had a lot of questions. I'm a person that I'm just walking, talking questions. That's all I had. And there was a lot of things I wanted to understand. And I wanted to understand scenes like this. How is it that this man spoke to what we would say hundreds, dare even thousands, with no microphone? And people heard him clearly. How is it? And then when you went to Israel, there were certain pockets and places. In fact, they took us to the place that not where the Sermon on the Mount was preached, but there's another sermon called Sermon on the Plain where Jesus preaches to hundreds of people, but he stays on the grass. No amphitheater, no ability to have a microphone. How does it go further? There are different places, and we tried this out when we were in Israel, that if you just stood, because of the way that the city was built and the way that mountains were and everything, you could be standing here with no microphone, and my gentleman in the suit with the blue teal underneath your suit, you could hear me clearly without the microphone. I was like messing with people. I was like, what am I saying? Red, red, blue, blue, you're ugly. Stop it, Ty. You know, and they could hear me clearly. And the reason they could hear me clearly was because the way it was set up. But even though there was hundreds of people, still the question is, how did the leper get in front? Because I know there's some people in this room, your question is this, how do I get in front of Jesus? How do I get this need in front of him? Jillian's going to LA. How do I get my needs in front of him? Someone went through a loss this week. How do I get my needs in front of him? How do I get my financial needs? What do I do? Well, what did the leper do? I'll tell you what he did. If you know the law, you know that a leper has to do one thing if he happens to go in the city with people. He has to say, unclean, unclean. And if you don't want to get what he has, what do? Hey, separate. That means that while Jesus was preaching, there was a leper far, far back here. No one was with him. He was probably in an awkward space, just grateful to be in the room, just grateful to hear him speak. And he's probably hearing things preached for the first time, hearing about prayer, hearing about anger, hearing about being salt and light. But then that chapter 7 moment, ask, and it will be given, seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be answered. I wonder if the leper thought like this. I wonder if that's true for me. I wonder if I ask him to heal me, if he'll hear me. But how am I going to get in front of these people? There's no way I can get, there's going to be so many people by the time he gets to me. He'll be tired. I really want to get to him first. If there was only a way that I could, What I was now ashamed of, what I was now even frustrated with God about, the thing that I didn't even want to talk about privately, the thing that has been ruining my life. You mean the way I get healed is by admitting it publicly, loudly, that my sin can get me in the front of the line? Well, say less. Unclean, excuse me, buddy. Unclean, you better go away, you're gonna get leprosy. Unclean, you better move. Unclean, 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 unclean. And suddenly, he's in the front. And the crowd's behind him. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but don't believe that your distance between Jesus and the crowd is gonna keep you away from your miracle. It won't. When you get honest before the Lord, when you start telling God, I'm unclean, it's going to create a pathway. You know why? Because God always honors humility. God welcomes honesty from his children. Some of us, if we're not careful, we'll get used to lying to the Lord. And the reason that we lie to the Lord is we've been lying to ourselves for so long. I'm clean. You know you're going through some stuff. No, I'm clean. No, I'm good. My finances are clean. I'm not committing anything to the Lord, but my finances are clean. My mind is clean. You're not reading the word. He's not renewing your mind. You're not fasting. You're not abstaining from things. I'm clean. And the more that we imitate, the more that we'll never walk into the thing that God has for us. So we have to get honest and say, unclean. And he gets in front of Jesus, and he doesn't say if he's able, because he knows he can. He says, if you're willing, I know that you're able to do it, but are you willing to do it? Sometimes it's annoying. You ever have a friend that's willing but not able? Like you have a need and they're like, hey, I'll help. And you're like, hey, come over and help me move. Do you got a truck but I don't got a truck? It's like, how are you gonna help me? You're willing, but you're not able. What's really hard sometimes, isn't it this? When you have someone who is able, but they're not willing. Isn't that hard? When you have a need, when you need something, and you know for sure they got it. And you don't want to pick up the phone and ask why, because you don't think they're willing. What you must know about Jesus, what you must know about our God, is that he is not just able. He's not just powerful and unwilling, and he's not just willing and pitiful. He is both willing and able. He can do it, and he will do it, but we have to get in front of him and get honest and say, God, I'm unclean. And what I love about this story is that there's a few things that tells me about Jesus. Number one is that Jesus comes down the mountain. A lot of us think we have to walk up to Jesus and we have to earn our way, but we serve a God that comes down. He comes down to your situation. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're in. I don't know what you're carrying. And some of us have this image of God that he's looking down at us. And that is not the image at all. He is walking with you. He is with you in this storm. He is with you in this season. He is with you in your circumstance. He is able to come down the mountain and get right next to you in that hospital room. He can get right next to you when you're trying to figure out this thing with your marriage. He will come right down the mountain and he will help you with the infirmity in your body. He is not a God that stays on high, but he's a God that has come down. He comes down and he wants to do life with his children. He comes down. Jesus comes down the mountain. Number two, I need you to know this if you're in this room. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing. Some of us get so used to coming in church just to get an encouraging word because we don't think it'll change our life, so we just wanted to change our perspective. But this is what I know about my Bible. This Bible, yes, it will give me a new perspective. Yes, it will give me a new way of looking at things. But this Bible changes the way I think. It changes the way I live. It changes the way that I govern my family. It changes the way that I treat my finances. It's not just meant to get you encouraged and not change your life. God wants to change your life from the inside out. Nothing is too hard. Well, no one in my family has ever done this. Nothing is too hard. Well, if you really knew where I came from, nothing is too hard. Did Jesus say it? Yeah, he said it. Then you got to believe it. Nothing is too hard from God. And if we're not careful, our limitations will govern our faith way more than our faith will govern our limitations. And because we've never seen it before, we don't believe it'd be possible for our lives. But this leper felt something. He felt something. I think he had this moment where he was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for broke. Either it's going to work out or it's not. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give up pursuing Jesus. Some of us don't have that mentality, but we need to. We just need to go to God and say, God, I'm just going to go for broke. Did God ask you to do that? Did he ask you to get married? Did he ask you to build that family? Did he put that vision inside of you? If he did, you just got to keep going. You got to trust him at his word that he will do what only he could do. Ask. Seek. Knock. If we're not careful, we won't even ask. When was the last time you really asked? Not in your mind, not just at church when Pastor Gerald's preaching, but when was the last time you got alone with the Lord and you made space for the Lord? Sometimes you may be having an excuse. Well, you know, I work so much. Well, wake up a little bit earlier and get with the Lord and follow the model of prayer. And when you get to the end, ask the Lord, God, I have some needs. I need you to help me. I need you to move on this. When I first started praying, like just praying outside and living a life of practical prayer, not just praying and doing things at the altar, but actually living a life of prayer, I would just go outside and kind of just have my head held down and kind of just get through the prayer. I don't like praying inside my house because I feel like the walls, and something psychological. I'm like, my prayers are hitting the wall. I want to go outside where there's no limitation. So just weird, kooky things that I do that my wife judges me for. But my prayer life has changed a little bit. I have a place that I go. If you don't have a time to pray, you won't. And if you don't have the place to pray, you won't. So you have to pick a time and you have to pick a place. My place is in the woods outside behind our townhomes, and I go, and when I go pray, I look up. And if you ever catch me praying outside, you're gonna think I'm a crazy man because I literally do this. And I pray, it's gonna be bad for my neck when I get like 60, but we'll figure that out when we get there. Then I'll pray for healing, so it'll be fine. But I like to lift up my head, and I really do. Like, I'm not lying, I really do. And the reason that I do is something about looking up, I'm reminded of how big he is. Like, try to look at a cloud. Just look at it. And you'll realize it feels so close, but it's not. I know, Rev, I know. It feels so close, but it's not. I like to look up and pray and know where my help comes from because I'm reminded that he is so big and this is so small. He is so powerful and I am so feeble. He put all of this in motion so he can take care of all of this in one move. Like to be reminded of who God is. And some of us believe in our limitations way more than we believe in the Lord. We believe because we've never seen it. It'll never happen. Everyone else in my family has died at this age. My mom's grandmother died at 55. My grandmother died at 55. My mom, this year, is turning 55. I've talked to her a few times, and that age always has some kind of level of, like, fear. And my mom was kind of nervous about it. I was talking to her a few months ago, and I was like, how do you feel? And she's like, oh, I'm good. I was like, well, why are you good? Why are you secure suddenly? She's like, well, my older sister, my auntie Valerie, she's already 58. So God already broke that generational curse. And a lot of us believe, well, this is how granddad was, right? This is how great granddad was. And this is who I am. Pastor gets up and tells you to sow and believe, and you start thinking things like this. Well, no, God will never bless my finances. I'm not one of those people that he wants to bless. I'm not one of those people that he wants to trust. I'm not one of those people that he's going to do anything for. I just believe in my limitation. I don't believe in the Lord. And if we're not careful, our limitations, like I said, will govern our life, and you will look back and you say, what happened? And I'll tell you what happened. You just stopped believing. You just stopped allowing the Lord that can save a leper in an instant to do the same thing for you. About a year ago, in this church, thank you for everyone that's came to a Project Salvation night or anything like that. I really do appreciate it. About a year ago, the Lord put something on my heart. Something random. I was in the parking lot of an evangelist's church, and God put this vision inside my heart. The vision was simple, to do a crusade in a city, and I didn't know where I was going to do it, and the way that I think and process things, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this in about 4 years. I'm going to give myself a runway to get there. I'm going to earn people's respect like this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And within that night, the Lord said, I didn't say 4 years. I was like, okay, cool. That's nice. All right, 8 years. Let's go longer, Lord. And he's like, next year. I said, God, next year, I said, where? I didn't just say, God, I want to do a crusade. I said, where? I want to teach someone something today. You have to talk to him the way you talk to your friends. You do. You got to talk to him. Some of us are not hearing him weird. We're not hearing him right because you're talking to him weird. You know you don't talk like that. You know you don't talk like that. Oh, thou, ow. Man, I need some money for these bills, okay? Like, you just don't. Can we just get honest? I talk to God like this. Hey, God, it's Tyshawn again. And I need help today. Lord, I'm tired today. I'm moving a lot right now. And God, I don't want to tell everyone else what's really going on, but between me and you, God, I think I'm feeling some wear and tear on my body. And I just need to know what to, ooh, and I'll get quiet because I'll sense something. Could you ever talk to a friend that won't let you get a word in? Some of you are that friend if you're not laughing. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. It's like you go talk to them, like, hey, what's wrong? You're like, this is what's going on. Well, let me tell you about my day. I was like, all right, whatever. But you sometimes a good friend will interrupt you. You know, they'll let you kind of complain for a second, and then after a while, they'll kind of call you out on it. And I was praying to the Lord, and I was talking to him about a few things, and I felt, And he reminded me that bitterness is a sin. And he was like, Ty, I need you to forgive this person and forgive that person and forgive this. I said, no, Lord, you don't get me. I'm wear and tear, like I'm tired. But because God is so good, he knows exactly what's making you tired. So then just right there, I forgive. Lord, I pray for so-and-so, I pray for so-and-so, I pray for so-and-so. Whew. What is this new lightness? That is us talking to God and God talking to you. Well, Pastor Tyshawn, I don't hear him clearly. You should fast. Fast one day. Okay, y'all don't like that. Fast for an hour, okay, and then we'll grow. Y'all like fast. I ain't doing that at all. You know, in Jewish customs, the reason that they teach fasting is because they believe that you could go to God and you could feel what to do. So if you were kind of confused, you would take a few days and you would not eat and you would go to God about the same thing and then you would feel it. When the Bible says Jesus is moved with compassion, that's from the belly. He would feel something. He would feel that inkling. It's the same thing that me and you feel. When you're about to do something right, there's a feeling. When you're doing something wrong, there's a feeling. There's a feeling that happens and you can hear the Lord. And I was praying to God and I was asking him, God, what city? He said, Arizona. I remember sitting in Louisiana thinking, Arizona, God, I'm not from Arizona. I never lived in Arizona. And then because God knows me better than I know myself, I preached in Arizona over 70 times and had no idea. Had no idea that the place that I've preached the most as a person that's only worked in South churches is actually here in Arizona. I found the facility because the Lord led. And they said, hey, we need about $600,000. I said, well, I need that too, I guess. I don't know what to tell y'all. And I want to tell this to someone because there's someone in this room, you can't believe God because the way you see money. And you won't give God your money because you really believe that you can do more with your 100 than you can do with the 80. Why did I not say 90? Because you should save 10 at least. And then tithe 10. Did Pastor Daryl tell Tyshawn to do this? No. I'm going to tell you who told me to do this, the Lord. I've been serving the Lord for years, and I never took the tithe seriously. I didn't. And I think I didn't take it seriously because I've worked at very large churches, and I just think that sometimes it's just the machine, and you can just forget that, no, this is money and all these different things. There was my own personal convictions. In the beginning of the year, the Lord said, I want you to take me seriously with the tithe. Take me seriously with it, Tyshawn. God, I can't afford it. I felt that way. I'm an evangelist. We don't make nothing. This isn't. If you want to be an evangelist, boy, you better just come and know that you have a heart, have a good heart, because it's not lavish. And I don't care what you see on TV. That's not what it is. It's a sacrifice. It's an honor. In fact, any ministry position is a sacrifice, and it's an honor. And I begin to take this seriously. Now, hear me before I say this. I'm not saying if you start giving 10% to the church, you're going to become a millionaire overnight. I'm just going to tell you this. I started giving to the Lord, to my local church. Just start giving, nothing crazy, nothing big, just what we could. And as we tithe, I've brought in more this year in my ministry than I have in probably all my years. We have already doubled this year than we had last year. Is that just because he's giving? I think so. I actually believe that when you're obedient and you trust the Lord with your finances, and you're probably right, you're probably thinking, there's some people right now, because I can feel it. And listen, this is not my church, so I'm gonna go home after this, so I don't have to deal with this. But I can feel someone right now. Why is he talking so much about money? Why do you think like that about money? Why do you think that about your time? I don't want to give him time. Why do you think that time belongs to you? That don't belong to you. Those children, Rev is not my child. That's what I'm called to steward. That's God's child. This is not my microphone. This is the Lord's microphone. And some of us, if we're not careful, we'll decide to say, well, God, this is all mine. I'll just give you the extra. And God, no. This is all yours, so I'm going to give you because you're my priority. I'm giving you out of my first fruits. I'm not going to believe in the limitation of my finances. I'm going to believe in the power of my Lord. And the power of my Lord is able to sustain me, is able to bless me, is able to enable me, is able to give me a grace, is able to give me a breakthrough. I believe in this God. He's not just willing, but he's able. And this leper, he comes down the mountain. He sees the Lord and he says, are you willing? Are you able? Can you do it? Just like me, God, are you willing? Are you able? Can you do this? Can you provide, Lord? Like, I'll step out, but I need you to step up. I'm not gonna lie, God. I don't wanna be looking like a fool out here. I need you to do it. And this is what I'm learning about the Lord at 31 years old. You just gotta trust him. You trust him, church. You trust him with everything. And you know that he is not only able, but he is willing. He goes to the leper. He says, are you willing to heal me immediately? Immediately. What if the thing you're waiting on, God will change immediately? Like, I've seen a lot of eventualities in my life. I have. Eventually I'll get that, eventually I'll experience this, eventually I'll step on that. But there's been a lot of immediatelys in my life as well. And what you gotta understand is that we have the God, he's the God of the eventually, for sure. Eventually you'll get there. Eventually you'll be blessed. Eventually it'll work out. But he's also the God of the immediately. So immediately he gets healed. As the band comes up and I'm concluding my sermon, the Bible says that Jesus says to go show yourself to the priests and give the gift that Moses prescribed. The gift that Moses prescribed was this whole laborious process, and it was, he had to go out and get find two birds. One bird he was gonna kill and put in water, and then he would take another bird and dip it in that, and then he would let that bird free. And then he would go and show himself to the priests, and the priest would look at him and he would inspect him. He would look at his head, he would look at his ears, and he would look at him and he would say, okay, believe you're clean. Now go and be by yourself for the next 7 days. Which is weird, right? You would think that I just got healed, now I can hang out with the people. He said, no, you gotta go be by yourself first. You gotta go be by yourself for a few reasons. Number one, we gotta make sure that the leprosy doesn't come back. And then number two, 7 days, you need to consecrate yourself to the Lord. Whenever God does something big in your life, don't get loud and get around crowds. Get alone and thank the Lord. Anytime God does something really big in my life now, I don't go to Instagram. I don't call a friend. I'll look at my wife and we'll thank the Lord. And then I'll privately just go on a walk and say, God, thank you for 7 days, this leper, unnamed. And I love when people are unnamed in the Bible, because I think sometimes we can put ourselves. This leper. And maybe you don't have leprosy and that's not the disease on your heart, but maybe you have a type of leprosy. Maybe it's things that happen in your life. Maybe it's situations that are going on currently. Maybe it's things that you're warring against and facing in your hardest of hearts. And you go to Jesus and Jesus heals you. And for 7 days, he's checking. Did it come back? Am I gonna become the person I was again? Some people are afraid to become to the altar because you know, oh, I'm just gonna become that person again. No, you're not, in the name of Jesus. So for 7 days, he's inspecting himself. He's making sure he's good. First day, it's good. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. Now for the seventh day, when he goes and shows himself in front of the priest, and I'm missing a few things, but one of the main things is that he had to give three offerings. He has to give the guilt offering. The guilt offering is for sin that you know about, and it's sin that you're not even aware of. you got to give that guilt offering. And after you give that guilt offering, now you have to actually do a sin offering. So the guilt offering, I'm sorry, is for the sins that you're unaware of, and the sin offering is for the sin that you are actually aware of. And then now you have to do a burnt offering. This is purely consecration, purely worship. You got to do these three things. Do you hear how it was back in the day? You had to be anointed. You had to go by yourself for 7 days. You had to find a bird. Some of y'all can't catch a bird. You wouldn't even have your miracle, because if it was dependent on a bird, you'd be like, hey, God, I'm just going to hell. I think that is what it is. I don't even know how to catch a bird. Get by myself. Got to do a sin offering. I got to do a guilt offering. I got to do a burnt offering. Got to do all these things and rituals. And you know, now Jesus is the sin offering. Jesus is the guilt offering. Jesus is the burnt sacrifice. It was Jesus that went on the cross and took our sin. The sin that we knowingly did and the sins we unknowingly do. He became sin that he might die for us. And the burnt offering was him offering his life so that me and you can not just one day be saved. Our story does not stop at salvation. It starts at salvation. For we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. He's offering something to us. And the things he offers is a relationship. So I know there's some people that if you're in here, I pray that you're saved. But if you're not in here, we're going to do a salvation prayer for you. And if you haven't, I want you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't attempt what I'm telling you to do without the source that enables me to do it. But secondly, I know there's some people in here, and it's the summer. I want to stretch your faith. I really do today. What are you believing God for right now? What do you need from him today, church? Don't listen to your limitations. There's some people right now, you need to put the bottle down, and he'll help you do it. He will. Well, I drank because my dad drank and he drank. Listen, it's ruining things in your life. Ask him, help me put it down. There's someone in this room and you just can't stop being so negative, and you hate it. You don't even like that about yourself. You just find yourself being negative, 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 and no matter who says things to you, it doesn't even matter if it's your children, you're just negative. Ask God for that. Most of us ask God for the things we want, but we won't ask him for the things we need. Ask him for the things you need. Do you need help not just getting money, but managing that money? I promise you, he will help you with that. God, I need help. Why am I making this so practical? Because most people don't follow God because they feel like it's impractical. So you think you got to go to God about something serious, something spiritual. No, you just got to go to him about something serious. I've come to God a lot this year. God, help me with my mind. Sometimes I just get distracted. God, help me with my mind. Help me with my eyes. You don't have to go through a divorce if you just say, Lord, help me with my eyes. You don't have to experience certain things if you just say, Lord, help me with my eyes. God, I need help. Ask him, church. Don't ask me. Don't ask Pastor Daryl. Ask God. God, I need help. I keep going to that website. I need help. God, I keep just keeping this pattern. I need help. God, I keep coming to church, and I know I should walk up to the pastor and tell him that I have a call and ministry on my life, that I really want to be a part of the church at a deeper level, but I'm so embarrassed and I'm so scared. No, ask God for boldness to walk up, because you need to be doing what the Lord is asking you to do. We got to ask. I want to tell this story for anyone that needs a healing, and then I'll conclude. When I was 15 years old, my mom, she's had so many sicknesses, and she had a surgery because she had a few herniated discs. And when she had all these surgeries, me and two of my mom's friends had to come to the hospital room after, and The doctor looks over at my mom, and he thought the guy that came over was her husband, but he wasn't. He was just helping her out. He was a friend, and he was like, well, who's the man of the house? And little old me at 15 years old, I'm like, I am, you know, just right there. And he was like, okay, well, I'm gonna need your help. You're gonna have to help your mom out. Can you do that? Yeah, for sure. And then he pulls out all these medications. He's like, okay, so in the morning, you're gonna have to give her this. And then after that, you're gonna have to give her this. She's not gonna like this one. She's gonna start throwing up. It's gonna be hard for you, but you gotta make sure she takes that one. When she takes this one, this is a chewable, make sure she chews it, and she's not gonna like it, give her food after. And then it was 7 different medications, and I was like, okay, cool. How long do I have to do this for? He was like, about 6 months. I said, 6 months? I'll be 16 by the time this is done. And I just remember like, okay, my mom's not gonna be able to walk. She's not gonna be able to do anything. She's not gonna be able to do anything. So that's why I'm here. I'm gonna help her. I'm gonna do all the medication stuff. That same day, the church that I was from, the church LV under Pastor Benny and Wendy Perez, Pastor Benny was an evangelist way before he was a pastor. He spent a lot of time in Australia. And there was this preacher named Pastor Tim Hall, whose specific thing was healings. He would pray and people would experience healings everywhere they went. And his preaching style was pretty interesting. In fact, I think Australian preachers as a whole are just pretty interesting. And they get up and they tell these stories and they'll just read a scripture. He tells a story and he's like, who wants to be healed? And he starts cowering, you know, looking throughout the whole room. And I'm from one of those churches that when they touch your head, you better fall in the name of Jesus. If you don't fall, you got a demon. So it's like, you're gonna fall. Because then we're gonna start figuring out which demon you have. That's a rebellious demon, you know. And he looks at the crowd and he sees my mom. And when he stares at my mom, I start staring at him like, hey, bro, hey, calm down. You can keep your show going, but not here. He looks at my mom. My mom has a walker on. He asks her the most sadistic question you can ask someone in a walker. He's like, do you want to walk? And my mom's like, of course I want to walk. I'm like, of course she wants to walk, sir. Of course she does. He was like, stand. The doctor told me just hours before that she was not going to be able to stand for at least 2 months. Stand in the name of Jesus. I'm saying this because there's someone in this room, you do not believe in healings. I didn't either. I'm like, she's not going to stand. And I look over and my mom, right where she was, stood. The church starts going crazy. I am utterly confused. I'm like, are you faking this whole thing? Like, I take all these medications, girl, I don't know. And he looks at her, he's like, do you wanna walk? I was like, she's good. You're going too far now. He takes her walker, and my mom walks around a church very similar to this one time. The church goes crazy. And I'm like, mom, sit down. He says, go again. And because preachers, we are theatrical, of course, yes, he made her go around 7 times for the Lord gave her the city. So she went around 7 times and he made her shout, for God gave her her healing. And I need to say something to some people in here. Your healing is coming. Your healing is coming. I want you to bow.